إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seed of all the prophets. O who you believe, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The words of all appear as innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah, which is Tuesday, the 26th, of Rabi' al-Akhir for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is coincided with the 18th of August 1998. And today's class constitutes the 24th class of our series concerning the book Bulugh al-Maram. Bulugh al-Maram, this book which by Sheikh Hajar al-Asqalani, Sheikh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, and which is the meaning of this, the attainment of the objective. We've been dealing with this book for the last 3 months, alhamdulillah, and today this will be the 24th class. And our chapter today concerning Salat al-Tatawwu'. And for those who have Kitab Bulugh al-Maram, the book of Bulugh al-Maram, this will be chapter 9, page 129. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about Salat al-Tatawwu'. Salat al-Tatawwu'. So we're talking about a kind of prayer. The word Salah, the prayer, the Tatawwu', this to make it different from the obligatory Salah. We have Salah which is obligatory, which is a must upon all the Muslims to perform 5 times a day. Regardless, if the person home or traveling, if the person is sick or well, that whosoever testifies to the unity of Allah and the finality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is obligated, he or she obligated to perform 5 time prayers every day and every night, which is Salat al-Subh, Salat al-Zuhr, Salat al-Asr, Salat al-Maghrib, Salat al-Isha. Any other prayer additional to these 5 prayers, we call it Salat al-Tatawwa. That means voluntarily prayer. That means optional prayer. That means it's up to you to make it or not. If you make this salah, you will be receiving blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not perform this kind of prayer, you will miss the reward. So the difference that the salah, which is a must, the obligatory salah, the 5 time prayers, if a person does not perform it, he or she will be punished for it. And it may take them to be a kuffar, wal-iyadu billah. The optional prayer, or the tatawwa, the voluntarily prayer, if a person does not perform it, even if he's still healthy, he or she healthy, they are not going to be punished. Or what's going to happen to them, they're going to miss the reward and the blessings that they will get by performing this prayer. And this salah, which is salat al-tatawwa, comes from the ta'a, and to do something in your own. That means you are not been oppressed or been ordered or forced to do it. Okay? This is the reason called Salat al-Tatawwa. Because you do it in your own. There is no any laws behind that say if you do not make this Salah, you will go to hellfire or you're going to be punished. Okay? So you do it with your own choice. Okay, this is the reason we call it tatawwa, from the ta'a, obedience, voluntarily, in your own. There's not any pressure in you for you to perform this prayer. And this is the reason we call this salah, salat al-tatawwa. Salat al-tatawwa is the optional prayer, or the voluntarily prayer, or the this kind of salah, which is not a must, we call it salat al-tatawwa, we call it salat al-nafila, we call it sunnah salah. So there is more than one name, actually, it can apply to this salah. Sunnah, that means it's not a must, okay? That is mustahab, it is better. You call it nafila, you call it optional, you call it tatawwa, all these things. All these names can apply to this kind of prayer that we're talking about today. The importance of this kind of prayer, Salat al-Tatawwa, it is one of the means to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those people who always been talking about going right and left and going through different kind of changes, going in tariqah, going in Sufism, going in different things, and all their excuse or all the reasons they want to get closer to Allah. If a person wants to get closer to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the means and the way how to get closer to Allah. Getting closer to Allah is not is something that the servant of Allah can get it. Okay? This is not a machine that you have to guess or to figure how to use it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set the means and the ways how to get closer to Him. So you don't have to go to the sheikh, you don't have to go to the tariqah, you don't have to invent anything, you don't have to invent a different means and different ways how to get closer to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in al-hadith al-Qudsi concerning salat tatawwa that my servant could not get closer to me with anything better than what I made it obligatory in him. Okay? So if a person wants to get closer to Allah, all what he or she has to do to focus in obligatory acts, regardless of this obligatory acts in fasting or in a charity or in prayer. The things that Allah make it obligatory in you, this was going to bring you closer to Allah. If you want to get more and more closer to Allah, now you have to look for the optional deeds, which is voluntarily, that you do it out of your own, okay? Voluntarily. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يَبْصُرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا وَقَدَمَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعْذِبَنَّهُ. And say, and then my servant or my slave continuing coming closer to me through optional deed. So if you fulfill all the obligation, you made Hajj, you give your zakah, you made the 5-time prayers, and you want to get more closer to Allah, is not through dreams, is not through guessing, figuring how, but how? By doing optional. So if you fast Ramadan, now you fast 6 days. If you fast Ramadan, you fast Monday and Thursday. If you made the 5-time prayers, you made the witr. If you give the zakah, you give charity. This is the way how people can get closer to Allah, not by any other means, not by dressing a special color, okay, not standing in the sun, not doing certain exercise, and staying away from eating certain food to bring you closer to Allah. This is not the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it. This one of the Sahaba, one day he stood up in the sun, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving the khutbah. And the man, out of his own, respect and good intention, he said, how come the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be standing on the member and I be sitting? This is not a matter of respect. So the Prophet standing, I'm going to continue standing myself, okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw this man standing, he said, what's wrong with him? They say, oh Prophet of Allah, he made a vow that he promised that he never going to sit, and he's going to stay in the sun, and he's going to be fasting. The Prophet ﷺ said, order him to get out of the sun, and let him sit down, and let him continue his fasting. So because the fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it legislated, he said, for the fasting, continue the fasting. But to torture yourself and punish yourself to standing in the sun, this is crazy. You don't need to be standing in the sun to get closer to Allah. And let him speak. Because the man, he made a vow that he's not going to talk to the people. He's going to be silent, he's going to stand in the sun, and he's going to be standing in his feet. So the only thing was legislated by Islam is the fasting. Let him complete his fasting, but all these other things that he made it out of his own mind, let him forget about it. It's not acceptable, okay? So now here, why we make optional prayer? He said, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. That my servant will get more closer to me, and more closer by doing what? By doing optional deed. Okay? So if he prays Zohr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Subh, now pray Witr. Pray the Turaqa'at Sunnah for the Subh. When you enter the Masjid, make Turaqa'at. This is called optional prayer. By doing this, you get closer to Allah. And by doing more optional deeds, fasting and charity and salah, all this is optional, which is not must. When you do a lot of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, what's going to happen? He said, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I'll be his hearing which he hear with. I'll be his eye which he see with. I'll be his hand which he touch with. I'll be his feet which he walk with. And if he sees my forgiveness, I'll forgive him. And if he bade me, I'll grantee his mas'ala. Okay? So the person increases his optional deed As a result of this, Allah will love him. If Allah loves him, now your eye will be moving according what is pleasing to Allah. Your ear will be only listening to what's pleasing to Allah. Your hand will be only stretching or striking what is only pleasing to Allah. You are not going to be gambling, you are not going to be stealing, you are not going to be touching something haram. Why? Because now your arm and your hand is guarded by Allah. Your eye is guarded by Allah. Your hearing is guarded by Allah. How it came to be guarded by Allah? By doing too much optional. So Allah, when He loves you, now He will be your protector. He will protect your senses. And He said, I'll be His foot which you walk with it. That means you are not going to be going in haram places. And as a result of doing too much optional deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if he calls on me, I will answer his call, and if he asks my forgiveness, I'll forgive him. This is one of the reasons that we're talking about optional prayer, so we can increase our love to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, and we can get this result. One other thing, there is many things, but you see the class actually is not designed to talk about it. We're supposed to get to the book, but I'm giving introduction, and I don't want to go in the introduction, taking the whole class. But the important, you have to know why we're going to do optional prayer. Some people barely can make the first time prayer. Now we're talking about making more prayer? Yeah, because you don't know. This is very important. You need to know why you need to make more prayer. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that أول ما يحاسب العبد إن أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة من عمله صلاة فإن صلحت صلح سائر عمله فإن صلحت فقد أفلح وأنجح وإن فسدت فقد خاب وخسر. So the first of all these that you be judged in the day of judgment is the salah. The first check out of your homework in the day of judgment is the prayer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the salah find to be good, acceptable, all your deeds which comes after this will be good and acceptable. The first thing that Allah will judge you about it is what? Is the salah. If your salah is good, now there is a big hope for your fasting, for your hajj, for your charity. But if your prayer is bad, is not good, فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسَرْ, he's a loser. Because the prayer you do it every day, and you could not master your prayer which you do it every day, how are you going to master your fasting which you do it once a year? If you could not master the salah you do it every day, 5 times a day, how are you going to master hajj which you perform it maybe once in your lifetime? You see? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if your salah is acceptable, is a good sign, because this means all your rest of the deed will be, have a good chance to be acceptable. But if your salah is not good, there is a serious problem. But listen now why we try to tell you do optional prayer, voluntarily prayer, more prayer. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will say, قال الرب تبارك وتعالى انظروا هل عبدي من تطوع فيكمل به من تقص من الفريضة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angel, look, see if my servant have anything additional, anything to the side, optional, voluntarily, alaykum salam. This is what we're talking about. Okay? So, now, if you make salah, as a gambin, salat al-zuhr, for rak'at, but in actuality, your body is standing in the salah for rak'at, but how long do your mind stay in the salah? Maybe only for a couple of minutes. Maybe 2 rak'at, you focusing about the salah, but the third and the fourth rak'ah, one was in the school, and one was in the street, and one was thinking what you're going to do after salah. So your mind was not there. You are not getting the full reward. You see? So now there is a deficiency in your obligatory prayer. And if your obligatory prayer have a hole in it, that we need to patch the hole. How are we going to patch the hole? If you made something optional. Like when you came to the masjid, you make 2 rak'at. This is, will be served as a what? As a badge. Now we can take the pants and instead of throwing it away, we try to put the badge on the pants and make it usable for a couple of months more. You see? So if you make four rak'at after Dhuhr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angel, look, did this man have any optional? If there is any optional prayer that you make, they will use the optional prayer for fixing and dashing your obligatory prayer. You see? And there is other things that we can talk about concerning the optional prayer. To give you more explanation about what we're talking about, what is this optional prayer, there is a lot of optional prayer. And I give you some examples of this optional prayer. Qiyamul Layl, standing in tahajjud during the night. Okay? You wake up in the last third of the night to make up salah voluntarily in your own. Not because if you don't get up that Allah will punish you, but if you don't get up for salah till fajr before sunrise, Allah will punish you for this. Yes, for sure. If you go to 3 o'clock in the morning, how are you going to get up? Watching TV, playing Nintendo and all these things, and after this you go to salah, you will wake up about 12 o'clock. It's almost time for Dhuhr. You see? You didn't even set the alarm clock, you didn't go to sleep early. It's your fault. You see? So, but some people, they get up during the night to pray, not because they're scared of the punishment, but seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah. So this is a prayer we're talking about, optional prayer. Also the witr prayer, the odd number, rak'ah, we call it witr. We talk about it inshallah more detail. When you enter the mosque, you pray 2 rak'ah, this is called salat tatawwa, optional prayer, voluntarily prayer. The 2 rak'ah that you pray before fajr, the subh prayer, the morning prayer, this is also tatawwa, okay? The 4 rak'ah you pray before Dhuhr is called optional prayer. Salat al-istikhara, seeking guidance if you want to go get in business, get married, travel to a country, relocate, and you are not sure, you make salat al-istikhara. This salat also called optional, voluntarily, tatawwa prayer. To pray between every adhan and iqama, this is called also optional prayer. The eclipse salah, this also called optional prayer. So there is a lot of salat al-tasabih. Okay, the salah that you say about 75 times in each rak'ah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this is one. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this is two. Like this, okay? So you say Allahu Akbar, and you say this 10 times, and after this you read Fatiha and Surah, and after this you start to say it 15 times. And after this you say Allahu Akbar, and go on ruku'ah. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, 3 times. And after this you start to say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, 10 times. It takes about 45 minutes to make 2 rak'at. Okay? Inshallah we can go more in details in another class. But Salat al-Tashabih or Tashbih is called also optional. So the optional prayer is any prayer that you pray by night or day other than the 5 obligatory prayer, you call it Salat Tatawwa. Now it's clear? Little bit. In actuality, there is a little bit different between obligatory prayer and optional prayer. The obligatory prayer is a must for you to be standing up. Okay? وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, that stand quietly in salah. You could not pray sitting down except if you're sick. But the optional prayer, the tatawwa prayer, even if you're healthy, young, and you choose to sit and pray, the salah is acceptable. Okay? This is one difference. The obligatory prayer, it has to be landed or standing on the ground. The optional prayer, you can do it while you're driving the car or sitting on your camel. The obligatory prayer, you have to be facing the Qibla. The optional prayer, you can be facing a different direction from the Qibla, or at least you will start the beginning of your optional prayer facing the Qibla, and after this you move your car or your camel or whatever that you're riding. So there is some differences between the obligatory prayer and the optional prayer. The obligatory prayer is a must for the neighbor of the mosque to pray it in the masjid. Okay? And for those people who live distant, it's strongly recommended for them to attend the Salah in Jama'ah. But the optional prayer, عن ربيعة ابن كعب الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال لي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سل فقلت أسألك مرافقتك في الجنة فقال أو غير ذلك فقلت هو ذاك قال فأعني على نفسك بكثرة السجود رواه مسلم. This hadith narrated by Rabi'a ibn Ka'b al-Aslami, may Allah be pleased with him, as a hadith in the collection of an Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi. So the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 280, page 129, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been questioned. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned Rabi'a ibn Ka'b and said to him, ask me, wish, what do you want? He said, I ask your company in paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him anything else besides this. He said, no, Prophet of Allah, this is the only thing that I'm aiming for. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, then help me to achieve this goal by devoting yourself in prostration, in a lot of prostration. Okay? So let's see the concern of the Sahaba. This is one of the Sahaba. His PhD degree or the Cadillac or the big house or the American woman or whatever it is that everybody has a desire and wish in this life, okay? Somebody need a Mercedes Benz, and somebody need, you understand, this woman that look like such and such, and this person wants this big business, and this person wants the PhD, and this person wants to go to Paris to spend the summer, everybody. So Rasulullah, you ask this Sahaba, what's your wish? His wish was nothing of this material thing. Comes and goes, okay? It's temporary enjoyment. But he was aiming for something higher than all this stuff, okay? He said, I want to be in your company. I'll be with you in paradise. Not only enter paradise, but I want to be in paradise and I want to be with you, Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I don't want this temporary company here in this life, and after this I die and I'm someplace, in someplace. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is there anything else that you're looking for besides being in my company in paradise? He said, no Prophet, this is all what I'm looking for. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him that you need to help me to achieve this goal by what? Too much prostration. That means, I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, but you need to take the means to reach this goal by doing what? Optional prayer. Optional prayer. That means do a lot of salah. Tatawwa salah. This will bring you to paradise and bring you to the closest position to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is one of the virtues of optional prayer. Okay? And when he said to him, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ, because there's no sujood here without salah. So sometimes you take a portion of the total thing and you name it with this, okay? He said, do a lot of prostration, that means do a lot of optional prayer, not only making sujood, okay? So we understand from this hadith, the higher priorities of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they used to look up to it. The second thing, that one of the beautiful things that you get it as a reward of doing Salat al-Tatawwa, that will bring you in the closer position to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in paradise. Hadith 281, and this in page 130. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال حفظت من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 ركعات, ركعتين قبل الظهر وركعتين بعدها وركعتين بعد المغرب في بيته وركعتين بعد العشاء في بيته وركعتين قبل الصبح, متفق عليه. وفي رواية لهما ركعتين بعد الجمعة في بيته. And in actuality, this is 10 raka'at, 10 sunnahs, or 10 nafilahs. This is what you call mu'akkad, strongly recommended, okay? What is not strongly recommended, like the two sunnah before the asr, the two sunnah before the maghrib, the two sunnah before the isha, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, okay? Other than this, now this is the 10 salah, the 10 optional voluntarily prayer that you should try to make them, which that Ibn Umar reporting this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhuma. So this hadith is the highest form of authenticity, okay, because in the collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim, and reported by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, when said anhuma with a dual pronoun, because that means you saying please, may Allah be pleased with Ibn Umar and the father of Ibn Umar, which Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma, that I mastered from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I learn, I grasp from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this kind of information, to perform two rak'at before Salat al-Zuhr, two rak'at after Salat al-Zuhr, two rak'at after Salat al-Maghrib, and two rak'at after Isha prayer, and two rak'at before the morning prayer. And in other narration, other version by Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi, كان إذا طلع الفجر لا يصلي إلا ركعتين خفيفتين. That, and if the Fajr is in, or after the daybreak, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't pray any except two rak'at, lightly, okay? Which is the sunnah before Salat al-Subh. There is two rak'at, okay? This is part of the strongly recommended to be done. Hadith number 282, reported by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يدع أربعا قبل الظهر وركعتين قبل الغداء. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari رحمة الله عليه, that Aisha reported never the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم neglect four rak'at before Zuhr and two rak'at before Fajr. Okay, so it seems that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he pray in the masjid, he will pray two rak'at before Zuhr. And if he pray in his house, he will pray what? Four rak'at. So Ibn Umar, he reported of what he saw, and Aisha reported from what she saw in her house, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make four rak'at. But anyway, if the person prayed two or four, all of them, both of them correct, okay, and we shouldn't be debating in issues like this, because both of them been performed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And arguing over optional argument among ourselves and debating issues and hot argument over optional is not the right thing, because our unity and loving one another and being nice to each other is a must. And performing two rak'at or four rak'at is optional, and we should be concerned about the obligatory more than the optional. You understand? So somebody wants to pray two, let him pray two. Somebody wants to pray four, let him pray four. Okay? And both of them correct, and both of them came in the hadith, and both of them are authentic, been done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the scholars, they have a different explanation why he prayed four and why he prayed two here, but both of them been done by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah knows best. In page number 131 and hadith number 283, وعنها, that means Aisha رضي الله عنها, قالت لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على شيء من النوافل أشد تعاهدا منه على ركعتي الفجر. Okay. حديث reported by Aisha and in the collection of الإمام البخاري as well as إمام مسلم رحمة الله عليهما that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was never more concerned more than anything like the two rak'at before the morning prayer. Okay? That means he used to be making all these sunnahs, all these optional. But about the two rak'at before the morning prayer, he was so concerned about it. And this shows us, alaykum as-salam, the importance of these two rak'at. That even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't neglect them when he used to be traveling. We understand when you're traveling, the salah is shortened, okay? But even when he used to be traveling, this is some of the sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't neglect it even when he traveled, like the witr prayer. And listen to this hadith or this version which is the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, raka'a al-fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. Subhanallah. The two rak'at of fajr, the optional prayer of making two sections before the morning prayer is much better than having all this dunya and all this material thing. Can you imagine being not a millionaire, billionaire, not even billionaire, to possess the whole material thing in this dunya? So the Prophet ﷺ saying for you to pray these two sunnah before the morning prayer is much, much better for you than you possessing all this dunya and those material things in the dunya. وعن أم حبيبة in hadith number 284 reported by أم حبيبة أم المؤمنين one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من صلى 12 ركعة في يوم وليلة بني له بهن بيت في الجنة. Okay. وفي رواية تطوعا. In a version that is optional, okay? That Umm Habiba, the mother of the believers, one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that whosoever perform a 12 rak'at optional prayer in a day, that this became to do it during the day and the night, during the 24 hours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of this, He will build a house for him in paradise, okay? And we had mentioned that the 12 rak'at, it goes like two before Zuhr, and two after, and two before Asr, and two before after Maghrib, and after Isha, and the morning, and after Jum'ah also, all this comes in the additional, or 12, the total to be 12. But regardless of this, or that when you enter the masjid, you pray two rak'at, you enter the masjid again for the next salah, you make two rak'at, and you make four rak'at before Zuhr. The total of this, you made a 12 rak'at during this day and night, optional prayer, additional to your 5 obligatory prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you by building a house for you in paradise. وللترمذي نحو وزاد أربعا قبل الظهر وركعتين بعدها وركعتين بعد المغرب وركعتين بعد العشاء وركعتين قبل صلاة الفجر. وللخمس عنها من حافظ على أربع قبل الظهر وأربعا بعدها وأربع بعدها حرمه الله تعالى على النار. أم حبيبة. Good. All this narration is authentic. The narration that in Tirmidhi and the next one also, all this hadith until now, alhamdulillah, are authentic. And in this narration, which or the version of Tirmidhi is saying four rak'at before Zuhr and two rak'at after Zuhr and two rak'at after Maghrib and two rak'at after Isha and two rak'at before Salat al-Fajr. In other version is saying من حافظ على اربع قبل الظهر, that whosoever consisted with four rak'at before dhuhr and four rak'at after, four rak'at before dhuhr and four rak'at after dhuhr, as a reward of this, Allah will forbid his body on hellfire. Okay, the person who keeps the habit of making optional prayer four rak'at before dhuhr and four rak'at after dhuhr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forbid his body on hellfire. Hadith number 285 in the same page 131. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله امرأ صلى أربعا قبل العصر, رواه أحمد وأبو داود وترمذي وحسن وابن خزيمة وصححه 36. This is hadith with a degree of being Hassan, is a good. This hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad as well as Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Khuzaymah. And the hadith classified to be good hadith. And the hadith is saying that may the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with a human being or a Muslim who pray four rak'at before before Asr. Okay, so we can see that there is different narration about praying four rak'at before Dhuhr, four rak'at after Dhuhr, four rak'at before Asr, and all these things is been done and been recommended by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith number 286 in page number 132. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. وعن عبد الله ابن مغفل المزني رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلوا قبل المغرب, صلوا قبل المغرب, ثم قال في الثالثة لمن شاء كراهية أن يتخذ الناس سنة, رواه البخاري. حديث 286 in page 132 reported by Abdullah ibn Mughaffal al-Mudani, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said for four to rak'at sunnah before Maghrib, for four to rak'at before Maghrib, and the third time he said to whosoever wants. Okay, so not for the people to understand that it's a must or that is recommended, highly recommended sunnah. So there is a sunnah before the Maghrib, there is a sunnah before Salat al-Maghrib, and we should sometimes do it even if we don't want to do it, for to let the sunnah establish for the people to get to know, because in some masjids, in a lot of masjids, okay, I don't want to mention countries now, okay, so nobody be offended, because some people, they are not here, they hear the tape sometimes and say that I'm taking on their country, okay. In some countries, after the adhan, immediately, they will call the iqama. You could not find single Muslim making two rak'at sunnah, and it will be so strange if you perform two rak'at before Maghrib, okay. So there is hadith and the authentic, and sometimes when we the sunnah disappears among the Muslims, that we need to perform it for purpose of teaching the people and remind the people about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, pray before Maghrib. Then he said, pray before Maghrib. Then he said in the third time, whosoever wishes. Okay? وفي رواية لابن حبان أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى قبل المغرب ركعتين. In a version by collection of Ibn Hibban, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم performed two rak'at before Maghrib. So he recommended and he performed it also. The next hadith, ولمسلم عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنا نصلي ركعتين بعد غروب الشمس وكانت متفق عليه. This hadith which is reported by Aisha, mother of the believers, one of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, رحمة الله عليهما, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make the two rak'ah sunnah before Fajr prayer, the morning prayer, so short that I would wonder, did he recite Fatiha, the mother of the book, or no? And you know, there is no salah without reciting Fatiha. But the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make it so light, so short, compared to the regular prayer that he stay hours and hours in it, okay, when you compare something that takes 5 minutes to something take hour and a half, okay, that will make her wonder, did he recite? But for sure he recited Fatiha. But she tried to describe it that he used to be short, that he didn't stay hours in it, okay? But for sure that the Prophet ﷺ recited the Fatiha. But that means he didn't stay too long in this surah, which before the morning prayer, before the obligatory prayer. Hadith number 288, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ في ركعتي الفجر قل يا أيها الكافرون وقل هو الله أحد رواه مسلم. الحمد لله. This is good hadith, and as I said, sometimes when we study this hadith, that we need to collect all the hadith that comes in one subject so you can understand. Okay? Otherwise, if you take one hadith only from the subject, you may get confused. So you found that hadith number 288, it gives you more understanding about hadith number 287. Although that both of them, they are narrators. One reported by Aisha and one reported by Abu Huraira. And he shows you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Salat al-Fajr, okay, the optional two rak'at before the morning prayer, what did he recite? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And now you can understand why Aisha was wondering, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Fatiha? No, because he recited so short surah. Okay? Something will take about 3, 4, 5 minutes. Okay? So, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had recited قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and surah قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ in the optional prayer before the morning prayer. حديث 289 عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى ركعتي الفجر اضجع على شقه الأيمن رواه البخاري. This is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari narrated by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that used to be the habit or the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he performed the two optional prayer of Fajr, he will lean on the side, in his side, okay? He will lean on his right side until the time for Iqamah. Now regardless if he was in his house or regardless if he was in the musalla, it is a sunnah. It is not a must. The Prophet ﷺ is to do it, okay? And if you do it with the intention of following the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, you get the reward. But make sure that you don't go sleep now while you taking this resting before the time for Iqamah. حديث نمبر 290 وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى أحدكم الركعتين قبل صلاة الصبح فليضجع على جنبه الأيمن. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه. This hadith is authentic, and in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Sunan Abu Dawood al-Tirmidhi, okay, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that when one of you pray there two optional. يرحمك الله. Before the morning, the two optional prayer, before the morning prayer, let him lean or lay down on his right side. Okay? So it's not only the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is to do it, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also had recommended to do this zahra. You understand now? On the right side. Yeah. The next hadith which is reported by Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الليل مثنى مثنى فإذا خشي أحدكم الصبح صلى ركعة واحدة توتر له ما قد صلى. متفق عليه. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us about the manner of the tahajjud prayer, called tahajjud prayer, salat al-layl, qiyam al-layl, because it takes a struggle, jihad, for you to get up, the comfortable bed, especially if it has massager in it, or is a water bed, nice and warm, okay? You need to struggle against yourself to get out of this bed, or you have a nice moving hammock, okay, going right and left, okay, and you sleep like a baby, okay? So now for you to get out of this, you need jihad, need a struggle to get out of your bed, called tahajjud, okay? So the tahajjud and qiyam al-layl is what, how to do it? Matna, matna, means two, two, two. It's not like the Zuhr prayer, it's not like the Asr prayer, it's not like the Maghrib prayer. It's what? Two, to sleep out. Two, and to sleep out. And if you think that you'll be approached by the daybreak, now what you're supposed to do? Now you pray the odd number prayer, what you call witr. Okay? This is what you call witr. That you pray one rak'ah. If you feel that the dawn prayer is due, he should then offer one rak'ah, which will make an odd number what he has been praying. Okay? And there is another narration says Salatul Layl wa Nahari Masna Masna. And there is a lot of talk among the scholars concerning this other version. But Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani, hafizahu Allah, had said that this is authentic. I'm only referring this because there is a lot of discussion concerning the scholar about the day prayer also, okay? They say that the word of day is not a part of the hadith, okay? But it is, inshallah. So that means this hadith is only all the chapter we're talking about, it's talking about the optional prayer. We are not talking about any obligatory, but we're talking only about optional, voluntarily prayer. That is what? Two salam out, two salam out. Regardless you pray by day or you pray by night. This hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, this hadith number 292. Oh boy. I don't think we're going to make it. Inshallah. I'll try to speed up, but I'm scared I'm getting ticket now. See, I'm not going to do it. So, let's take our time. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل. أخرجه مسلم. حديث نمبر 292 page 134 reported by أبو هريرة may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, which is saying, or the meaning is, the most excellent prayer, the best, the most rewarded prayer after the obligatory prayer is the voluntary prayer that you do when? By night. okay, by night, tahajjud, salat al-layl, okay, your mind is not on the stove, or the rice is going to be burned, okay, your mind is not about the kids need a bottle, your mind is not understand, everything you understand the only thing is that there is a shaitan here in America day and night, man, 24/7, okay. He found the stores open, he found the TVs running, the channels, still, you see. But mostly in the night, most businesses and occupations and things that takes your attention is mostly calmed, okay? Or at least closed down for, shut down for a couple of hours. And this makes you be willing to be more devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And really be in your prayer. Because some people, they be in prayer, but they are not in prayer. Their body is in the prayer, but their heart and their mind is not in the prayer. And this is one of the reasons you found that the most excellent prayer is what? The prayer by night, which all these needs and wants been fulfilled, and people sleeping, closing shops, all these things, so you can really free yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your mind and your heart. And we should try, inshallah, to test some of this kind of feeling to get up during the night and to pray and see the sweetness of making salah at night. Hadith number... Hadith number 293, same page 134, عن أبي أيوب الأنصاري. رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الوتر حق على كل مسلم من أحب أن يوتر بخمس فليفعل ومن أحب أن يوتر بثلاث فليفعل ومن أحب أن يوتر بواحدة فليفعل رواه الأربعة إلا الترمذي وصححه ابن حبان ورجح النسائي وقفه حبيب is in the collection of An-Nisa'i and in Sunan Abu Dawood and Sunan Ibn Majah in the collection of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi. And this hadith is mawquf, okay? And the narration which is mawquf, that means reported by the Sahabi, not been lifted up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is authentic, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us a different form of making witr, that the witr can be five or can be three or can be one, okay? That the witr prayer, the odd number, that you pray five rak'at together, or that you pray three rak'at together, or that you perform one rak'at by itself, and all this you call it witr. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that witr is a duty upon every Muslim. And when you say duty, that means strongly recommended. Because the only obligatory prayers that if you neglect it you will be punished is the morning prayer, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. And this Arabi, the Bedouin man, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, O Prophet of Allah, teach me about Islam. Tell me what Allah make it obligatory on me. He said, خمس صلاه في اليوم والليل. Five prayers during the day and night. He said, علي غيرها. Did Allah command me? Don't come back this way. Say, did Allah make something more on me? The must? He said, if you want, do something voluntarily. Okay? If you want to do it voluntarily, this is something different. But what is a must is five times prayer. Okay? So this is what we understand from the hadith, that duty on a Muslim is not the duty enough. That means if you neglect it, you will be punished. Okay? But it is strongly recommended that you shouldn't neglect it. Okay? But let's say that somebody neglected intentionally. What's going to happen to him? he will be diverted or is not going to be taking the reward, the blessings. But will he punish for it? No. You'll be punished for the obligatory only. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you wish to make your witr 5 rak'at, make it 5. If you want to make it 3, make it 3. If you want to make 1, it's still acceptable and correct. Hadith number 294. وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ليس الوتر بحسن كهيئة المكتوبة ولكن سنة سنها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الوتر بحسن كهيئة المكتوبة. This hadith, although that explained the hadith before, but the isnad, the chain of the hadith is weak. And the hadith in the collection of Ibn Hibban and At-Tabarani. But because Isa ibn Jariyah, a man by name Isa ibn Jariyah, is the chain of the hadith, okay, and this man has all kind of narration, so the scholars, they found this man have made interruption for the chain of the hadith, so the hadith classified to be weak, and we leave it alone. In hadith number 295, page 135, عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قام في شهر رمضان ثم انتظروه في القابلة فلم يخرج وقال إني خشيت أن يكتب عليكم الوتر. رواه ابن حبان.
السلام عليكم.
I made a mistake here. Hadith, which one that said? Huh? 294. Let's go back again to it, please. This hadith by Ali. The hadith by علي ابن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ليس الوتر بحسن كهيئة المكتوبة ولكن سنة سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. رواه الترمذي وحسن والحاكم صححه. narrated علي ابن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه. The witr prayer is not obligatory as the compulsory prayer is, but it is a sunnah which was sanctioned by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay. This hadith is authentic. This hadith is the collection of At-Tirmidhi. This hadith is authentic. This hadith is the collection of At-Tirmidhi and Al-Imam al-Nisa'i, Al-Hakim, and Sheikh al-Albani, Hafizahullah, he says that this hadith is authentic. Okay? That this hadith is authentic. The second hadith, which is 295, okay? Hadith number 295 is the hadith that I meant to say that is weak. Okay? Hadith number 295, which is reported by Jabir, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed during Ramadan. Then the Sahaba waited for him to come out the following night, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come out. This hadith is weak. The hadith is the collection of Ibn Hibban and Tabarani. And in this hadith, a man by name Isa ibn Jariyah. Isa ibn Jariyah is a weak. So this man had caused the interruption and the corruption in the isnad, the chain of the hadith. So this has made the hadith to be weak. The next hadith, number 296, which is Kharija ibn Hudhafah. This hadith also, we are not going to bother with it because this hadith is weak. Although that this hadith is in the collection of Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Bayhaqi, Wa-Tabarani. Excuse me? Yes. as I said, the hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Wal-Bayhaqi, Wal-Tabarani, Wal-Hakim. Imam al-Bukhari said, we don't know any isnad, okay, for this hadith. And Imam al-Bukhari said that is weak. And in the collection of Ibn Hibban said the isnad and the chain is broken. And the matn, the hadith itself is and isnad is munqati'. Now, this is important here to pay attention now. Sheikh al-Albani, he investigated the hadith. He said, Al-Illa Jahalat ibn Rashid. And this is the man which is been authenticated by Ibn Hibban. Anyway, Sheikh al-Albani has authenticated this hadith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The meaning of the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had extended to you or had give you with a prayer or bless you with a prayer that is much rewarded or much better than all these worldly things. Okay? And this is Salat al-Witr, the odd number prayer that you make it before, after Salat al-Isha and before the morning prayer. Okay? This shows you also the importance of Salat al-Witr. Hadith number 297. عن عبد الله ابن بريدة عن أبيه رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الوتر حق فمن لم يوتر فليس منا. Okay. This hadith إسناده منقطع. Is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim and Ahmad. And there is inqita', that means the chain of the hadith is broken, okay? So we could not classify it except to be broken in the chain, so we could not utilize it. The next hadith in page 137 وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزيد في رمضان ولا في غير على 11 ركعة يصلي أربعا فلا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن ثم يصلي أربعا فلا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن ثم يصلي ثلاثة. قالت عائشة فقلت يا رسول الله أتنام قبل أن توتر؟ قال يا عائشة إن عيناي تنام ولا ينام قلبي. متفق عليه. Let's see how many more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have about 15 hadith more to go and it's time for the adhan. So it seems that we're going to have to go with another class concerning the optional prayer. We close the subject with this last hadith. Inshallah we give more details about it. But this was the habit or the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that regardless of Ramadan or other than Ramadan, he did not do more than 11 rak'ah during the night. Okay? This is additional of what he used to do during the day. But the night prayer for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regardless if Ramadan or other than Ramadan, all what he used to do what? He used to make 11 rak'at. This is Qiyam al-Layl for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time during his life. Brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us and give us the ability that we increase our optional prayer and our optional good deed. And from this hadith today, we see the importance of the Salat al-Tatawwa, the optional voluntarily prayer. It brings us closer to Allah, it makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us more. It will be a means to fix and correct our mistakes and to make up for the deficiency in our salah in the day of judgment. So inshallah, let's try our best that increase our obedience to Allah by making more optional prayer. When you enter the masjid, you pray two rak'at before Zuhr, you pray sunnah, and after Zuhr, you pray sunnah before Asr. And it's not sunnah after Asr, you should make sunnah before Maghrib and after Maghrib, before Isha. In general, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us, bayna kulli adhanayn salah, or sallu bayna kulli adhanayn, the meaning of the hadith, that between every two adhan there is a salah. The adhan, the two adhan, that means the adhan and the iqama. Anytime there is adhan call, and there is iqama, so between the adhan and the iqama, there is a sunnah that you can make it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I know there is some questions and some concerns, but we did not finish the class yet. So if you can hold, inshallah, your question for the next class, and after we finish everything, now we can come with the questions if it's not answered during the class. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We close here, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for your coming and your listening. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to the Sirat al-Mustaqim and firm our heart and our feet on it, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Mujahid.